from the earth that sailed in storm and rain, to Karbala's land of grief and pain. One held life through water's wave, one showed truth and died so brave. From the ark to Karbala.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to the program, The Ark to Karbala. And in this beautiful program, our focus is to learn and educate ourselves regarding the events which are related to Muharram, and more specifically the day of Ashura, which is the 10th of Muharram al-Haram. Alhamdulillah, in the previous episode, we discussed regarding why Ashura is so important. What is the excellence of Ashura? What are the benefits and the virtues mentioned in the ahadith regarding this blessed day of Ashura and regarding fasting on the day of Ashura? Now, because this program is titled The Ark to Karbala, so today we are actually going to speak about the Ark. Because Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, a very revered and a very important prime figure in the Islamic history and the religious scriptures. And Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam's very prominent incident is the incident of the Ark, which is also related to the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, the day of Ashura. But before we get into the topic, inshallah, we will listen to a beautiful narration of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam regarding sending salawat, sending salutations upon him. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, "The one who recites salawat upon me in abundance in this world shall be the closest to me on the day of judgment." Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatan wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, it's a bright day. We are sitting outdoors. Beautiful environment, beautiful weather, alhamdulillah. Winter is also from Allah, summer is also from Allah. Everything belongs to Allah, everything is from Allah, and we shall return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, on every aspect, that should be our intention and our mindset, that in every situation we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today, mashallah, we have our very two amazing scholars with us. We have Brother Shams Madani, alhamdulillah, and Ismail Banali Madani. Jazakallahu khairah for taking out your time, mashallah, azza wa jal. So yesterday we discussed regarding the topic of Ashura, and the series is themed around covering the events of the day of Ashura. So alhamdulillah, yesterday we were talking about the introduction, that if somebody does not know what is the significance of the day of Ashura, so he can actually become a bit familiar with, okay, this is the day of Ashura. This is such an important day. And these are the significances of this. So we covered this, and we also covered the fact that how important it is to fast on the day of Ashura and how important the month Muharram is as a whole. And there are many incidents related to the day of Ashura. You talk about Sayyidina Adam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam's repentance. If we talk about Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam's ark. If we talk about Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam's eyesight. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam's incident of the well. We talk about Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam's narration. And if we talk about the narration which is very close to our hearts, the narration and the entire incident of Karbala and the sacrifice of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So our intention is to cover all these segments in a series of episodes, so our viewers, especially the youth, can understand that what has actually taken place on this day of Ashura. So today in this series we are trying to cover related to the topic of Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam and the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam. So inshallah, before we get into the whole topic of the Ark and what was the description of the Ark, how did the Ark actually look like, and what events occurred, we will first speak about the introduction of Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. But yesterday, Maulana, we had a very beautiful recitation from Maulana Shams Madani. Isn't it mesmerizing? Urdu is not his first language. And as an African, as a person who is not born with the Urdu language, alhamdulillah, he reads the words of the Naat in such a way that subhanallah, he's also feeling it and conveying that love into our hearts as well. So I'll request you, Maulana, inshallah, if we can have a few couplets of Naat Sharif before we get into our topic.
Inshallah, jazakumullah khair. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله سب سے اولى سے اولا وہ آلا ہمارا نبی سب سے بالا وہ آلا ہمارا نبی اپنے مولا کا پیارا ہمارا نبی
MashaAllah, JazakAllah khairan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you more barakah in your voice, in your love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. The topic of today, let's come back to that. The Ark of Nuh alayhi salam, and of course to understand the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam, let's talk about Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam as a prophet. That we should know what kind of a figure Hazrat Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam is, and how he is revered in the Islamic history. After the passing of Sayyiduna Adam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, who is the first man on earth, Abul Bashar, our father, Sayyiduna Adam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah sent one of his messengers, who is Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. and Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam after some period of time related to Adam alayhi salam. There was a good enough gap. Basically, Adam ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is the father of the humanity. And after Adam alayhi salam, the mankind began to grow. But then came a time when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala struck the people due to the disobedience and the transgressions. And at that time came the era of Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam basically protected a number of species. And we can say that our survival today is our birth comes from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and our survival, meaning the preservance of the species, is then from Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam was sent to the world to continue to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah blessed Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam with many praiseworthy traits and immense blessings and bounties. Allah Ta'ala blessed him a lot. He is the first messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
He also holds a title of Ulul Azm. He's amongst the Ulul Azm. And he is also the title holder of Adam Thani.
Subhanallah.
Second Adam.
Subhanallah.
Alayhi salam. Why? Again, Adam alayhi salam is Abul Bashar, the father of the human race. And Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam basically preserved it. If not for Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, so everything would may have been under waters. So Ulul Azm, but Marani, if you could kindly also mention to us who are the Ulul Azm and what do we understand by Ulul Azm?
The Ulul Azm are the grand messengers, the major messengers. We have five of them. The first one is Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we have Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And also among them, we have our Aka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam.
Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam,
alayhi
and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And in the beginning you mentioned Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ulul Azm are the five majestic prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the number of them is 124,000 approximately. It is necessary to say plus minus or approximately such words, because if there is one or two more, or few less than 124,000, so at least we are protecting our tongues and protecting ourselves. So approximately 124,000 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of which five are regarded as the Ulul Azm, those prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are the most ranked. And the most ranked of all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what you mentioned just now. Sabse ola wa ala
hamara
alhamdulillah. So Sayyidina Nuh ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is amongst the Ulul Azm, and he is also known as the second Adam alayhi salam. As only some members of his nation boarded the ark and survived the great flood which had struck the world, from them the human race continued. So it was a number, handful of people from where the whole mankind then continued. He was also someone who fasted every day except the days of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. He was named such because he would shed tears abundantly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he was titled Nuh. He would cry abundantly in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The taqwa was there, that love of the Almighty was there. Allahu Akbar. And being a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are we?
Subhanallah.
We are sinful. We are very small, and yet we are able to cry on every little thing, but not able to cry due to the love and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam at various places in the Holy Quran. And there are many attributes of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam mentioned in the Holy Quran. His steadfastness in calling towards righteousness. He stayed amongst his nation for more than 950 years, inviting them to Islam with commitment and dedication. During this time, he encountered great hardships and struggles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَّبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا فَأَخَذَهُمُ الطُّوفَانُ وَهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. That indeed, we indeed sent Nuh alayhi salam to his nation. He hence stayed with them for 1,000 years minus 50 years.
SubhanAllah. So which means?
950 years.
950 years. SubhanAllah.
The flood seized them and they were unjust because of the transgressions.
Yeah.
And when they were seized, when the punishment of the tufan, punishment of the flood came upon them. So it was Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam who rescued a certain number of species in their pairs. Now another thing here is that Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam served his nation
for 950 years.
And yet the transgression was there. But he did not give up. 950 years, just Allah Akbar, it's like 10 lifetimes, 12 lifetimes, if you calculate according to today's time.
Exactly.
And us, within a year, within a month, within 2 months, within 3 months. Say for example, if you're trying to do something good and people are not listening to you and things are not coming your way, what happens?
Give up.
Then you get angry.
Yeah. We give up. But this is a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with that, he was very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, the ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. Allah ta'ala says that, O descendants of those whom we carried in the ark along with Nuh alayhi salam, he was indeed a grateful bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was indeed a thankful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if you talk about another place in the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about him, and Allah ta'ala bestowed prophethood and scripture to the descendants of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, all the prophets after him were from his offsprings basically. Because if everything ended, so whoever came after that was from the offspring of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. So, and all heavenly books were also granted to renowned personalities from his descendants.
Subhanallah.
In, like how you mentioned, in Ulul Azm, whose name comes first?
Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam.
As per time, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you look according to the, all of them are actually descendants of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. So the prophethood, the scriptures, came in the descendants of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran that indeed we sent Nuh alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and placed prophethood and the book amongst their offsprings.
Subhanallah.
So we sent Nuh alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and we placed Nubuwa and prophethood in their generations. This is it. Undoubtedly such a great excellence of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Another place Allah ta'ala mentions, and this is regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserving his name amongst the prophets. So Allah ta'ala preserved his name amongst the prophets, messengers and nations that appeared after him, ensuring that he is never ever forgotten. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. We kept his praise amongst the later generations, that we kept his praise alive. Allah Ta'ala, you know, when a bondsman, here of course we are talking about the prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam. But this also brings to mind that prophets alayhimu salatu wasalam, their rank, their status is unimaginable.
Yeah, something else.
Allah Ta'ala knows.
Yeah.
But even in normal people, in general people, those who are dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are dedicated to Islam, who are dedicated to the right path. So Allah Ta'ala keeps their remembrance fresh as well.
No.
Today we remember the awliya Allah. Mm-hmm. We remember the sahaba. We remember the pious sages of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Why? Because they were dedicated and committed to the worship of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and His obedience. Mm-hmm. This is undoubtedly a lesson from this. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran about Nuh Alayhi Salaam, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that indeed he, meaning Nuh Alayhi Salaam, is our high ranking, perfectly believing bondsman. His rank is high and he's a perfectly believing bondsman. He's a perfect mu'min. Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. So, alhamdulillah, these are few attributes of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. He lived a very long life and he preached to the people. He kept on reminding to the people. Didn't give up. For a very prolonged time, he continued. Anything you'd like to add?
As you have just mentioned that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, he kept preaching for 950 years. Without getting tired. Even though the people were mocking him, saying bad things to him, but he never gave up. It is showing that to have sabr when we are doing da'wah is the main thing. We are learning from Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is that a sabr. Because Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam for 950 years is preaching, but people are not welcoming him. Only
if you look at that, Monana, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was troubled. People disobeyed.
Yeah.
If we look at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
If you see Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, he was in a prolonged
disease.
Yeah. Okay, if you speak of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, because of the departure of the son, he had lost his
sight.
Yeah. And then you look at the seerah of our beloved Prophet
sallallahu.
Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. All the Prophets alayhi wa sallam, whom we usually read about, and the Quran has mentioned about those Prophets, and the seerah of those Prophets when we look at them. How many narrations are there regarding Bani Israel? How many Anbiya, how many Prophets came into the Bani Israel?
A lot.
So, this journey of hardship is being seen throughout in the history regarding the Prophets alayhi wasalatu wasalam, in fact from Adam alayhi salam.
Ji, Ustaz Sahab, before you go furthermore, after hearing the introduction of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and perhaps viewers might need to know that after Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam called people towards righteousness for 950 years. So how many people did accept him?
Your question regarding how many people accepted Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam as an effort of 950 years of da'wah.
Yeah.
According to what's recalled and what's written, around 80 people.
SubhanAllah.
In 950 years, about 80 people. And if you just take an average of that, it's just coming to the mind that, you know, it would be nice to get the figures of that. That if you calculate 950 years divided by 80, so it is basically one person in 12 years.
SubhanAllah.
It's one person in 12 years. But look at this great Nabi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He kept on going. I was mentioning Sayyidina Adam ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam and his difficulties. The first man on earth. First man on earth. And he faced the hardship of shaitan manipulating his son. Where his son Qabil assassinated
Habil.
And that whole incident which we have heard again and again.
Yeah.
And then right up to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struggled in the early days in Makkatul Mukarramah. How people called him very wrong names. People, ma'adallah, called him magician as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the lesson here is that when you're in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way Maulana mentioned, that we should be committed, dedicated, because we are doing the work of delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Inshallah.
If guidance is written in the destiny of someone, so guidance will get to him this way or that way. But if it is not written, then no matter what, nothing can happen. Mm. Like an easy example, amongst the Ulul Azm, there is another prophet, a very great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam grew up in whose house?
Fir'aun's
house. Mm. When Musa alayhi salam went to the mountain, and in his absence, there was another person who gave the opinion and suggested to make a calf and worship the calf. Mm. Who was that person?
Musa Samiri.
Both are Musa. Musa alayhi salam grew up in the house of Fir'aun. But yet, subhanAllah, such a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu. So on the other hand, Musa Samiri, who was in a cave, Jibreel alayhi salam would actually take care of him. One place you have a child, a person who grew up in the house of Fir'aun. Mm. One place you have a child who was nursed by Jibreel alayhi salam. But destined, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined Musa alayhi salam to be a great Nabi of Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So if guidance is written in destiny, it will reach. Our job as Muslims, our job who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to deliver the message of guidance.
Yes.
And if we make this mind that our purpose is to deliver the message, if this is set into our minds and in our hearts, then we will not be scared or frightened with small hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
Like a muazzin. What is the job of a muazzin? To give azan. A muazzin gives azan for zuhr. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. And only two people come for salah. So do you see the muazzin asr time saying, nobody came, so?
I won't give azan. No,
that is doesn't happen like that.
He will still give azan.
He'll give still azan. So that's how we need to be. And this is what we see from the life history of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That no matter what, keep going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. So, alhamdulillah, this is a brief introduction of Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. But now, what about the ship?
Yeah.
Because that is also associated with the 10th of Muharram al-Haram. So, in fact, this was the world's first ship. The whole technology of ship started from Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salam. This was the world's first ship. We're not talking about small boats or canoes and stuff. Proper big ships.
Yeah.
So this was the world's first ship. Thousands of years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. As we discussed, he preached for approximately 950 years. This prophet alayhi salam tried to guide people to the right path, but the fact is that only about 80 people came to the right path. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that a powerful storm would sweep away the evil people from the world. Meaning, whatever evil a person is doing, if you think that somebody is not seeing you, you are not being caught, there is no action against you, it doesn't mean that it will last forever like that. There will be a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send his punishment upon you. One way or another, you will, even if you don't get stuck in the world, what will you do in the akhir?
Nothing.
So the transgression of the people resulted in a flood coming, and that flood engulfed the entire earth. Sayyiduna Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was informed about it, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to him that this is what's going to happen, so he should build a ship to save himself and the believers. 200 years still remained before the arrival of the storm.
Yes,
200 years
were remaining for the arrival of the storm. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Nuh alayhi salam that there are 200 years remain. storm will come. Prepare. Obviously, think about it as well.
So, Usasab, which means this story is related to unseen, is it?
Of course, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam of an event which is going to take place.
In future.
Mm. Are you able to see the storm? No.
No.
Is a storm there? No. Is a storm yesterday? No. Is a storm today? No. Is a storm tomorrow? No. No signs of the storm. Now 200 years later, a storm will come.
SubhanAllah.
So this is ghaib upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Nuh alayhi salam aware. Which tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the knowledge of unseen to His chosen ones whenever He wants, how much ever He wants. Allah Ta'ala, okay, by this now, maybe it can lead to another question. Does it mean that the Prophet is the knower of unseen? This will become a bit tricky.
That
if you say that the Prophet is knower of unseen, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimul ghaib, so won't it become like associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So a very simple answer, like this very, very beautiful point you raised, Mawlana, that this refers towards knowledge of unseen as well. Like how Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned many events related to the day of judgment, related to Jannah and Jahannam as well. How? So here it's not that a prophet who knows, who has the knowledge of unseen, it is Allah who has given that knowledge. If Nuh alayhi salam had the knowledge of unseen, if Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has the knowledge of unseen, other prophets alayhi salatu wasalam were informed about the unseen. So this does not refer towards them having ilmul ghaib on their own, on their own accord. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed them with the knowledge of unseen.
Subhanallah.
So there is a difference.
No.
That it does not deny that no, they don't have knowledge of unseen. They have. But Allah has given to them. But Allah's knowledge of unseen is not given to Allah by anybody. It is Allah on His own accord who has that knowledge. And it is up to Him. He bestows upon whomever He wants, how much ever He wants.
SubhanAllah.
He is the most greatest. So yes, this is a very valid point that Nuh alayhi salam was blessed with this knowledge of unseen. That 200 years from now, this is going to happen and you should build a ship and gather people in that. And he needed wood to build a special ship called an ark. There was a special kind of wood. To obtain wood, he planted some trees called Sagwan, whose wood is very durable. So to attain wood as well, Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam planted trees so that from those trees he can get the wood.
SubhanAllah.
These trees took 100 years to grow.
SubhanAllah.
These trees took 100 years to grow. Okay, after which he and the believers started building the world's first ship. The believers helped him. Now throughout this time, the evil people persecuted him in various ways. Many ways, various ways. They are seeing a ship is being made. So it should ring a bell, isn't it? Something's going to happen. Something big is happening. Something big is happening. So naturally, you should incline and, you know, reach out to what's happening. You are doing something which has never been done before. That means there's something behind it. But no. When the shaitan is, you know, overpowering your heart and mind, then it's like your heart, your ears, your eyes are locked. Yeah? Sealed. However, he remained patient and he started preparing for the ship. He started building the ship. And do you know how long it took to make the world's first ship? You may think it took 1 or 2 years.
How many years?
100 years.
100 years.
So which means planting the trees, 100 years.
Yes.
For making a ship, 100 years.
Yes.
200 years.
But why? Why it took so long? Think about it. If we talk about, say for example, this is a phone. Now, the size of this phone is equal to a hand. I tell you that can you build a boat of this size with wood, how long would it take you?
few minutes or some few hours.
Few hours at least,
not minutes. Yeah, few hours.
Because it's
yeah.
wood, you put glue, you put nails, this, that. Okay, if I increase the size from here to this table,
then hours will be increasing as well.
Yeah. How many hours approximately for this table?
For this table, maybe 5 hours.
Okay. Say for example, from where I am sitting to where Maulana Shams is sitting, if we increase the size a little bit more, hours will increase also.
Yeah.
Now say for example, if I increase it more, that okay, from where I am sitting to where Maulana Shams is, maybe 2.5 meters, 3 meters, or make it 6 meters, make it 8 meters, make it 100 meters, it will
increase the hours, increase as well.
Now, listen to how huge was this ark of Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. According to one opinion, this boat was 300 yards long.
Subhanallah.
How many yards long? 300 yards long. Now 300 yards, if I, just for an idea for our viewers, how many meters is that? 300 yards is approximately 275 meters.
Subhanallah.
275 meters.
So big.
Allahu Akbar. Like, just to make it, give little bit more context. Okay. Length of a normal aircraft. Okay. Like a passenger aircraft. Say for example, like a Boeing 777 or something. So the length of that is about 63 meters. The length of that is about
63 meters.
A smaller plane, maybe 50 meters, 60 meters. Okay. So this means length of the Ark of Noah alayhi salam was such that you can put at least 4 aircrafts in a line. Put 4 aeroplanes in a line.
Subhanallah.
Of 60 meters.
Yes. 274 meters, about 300 yards. 274 meters. That's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
50 yards wide.
Subhanallah.
50 yards wide. Now, 50 yards wide, how much is that? About 45 meters. Basically, almost one plane. One plane, if you see the length of a plane from nose to the tail, approximately, more or less, that was the width of the arc. And 4 to 5 planes in a line, that was the length of the arc. And how tall is the plane? Like if you take your car and you stand underneath the plane, how tall is the plane? Height of a plane, when you are standing near the plane, you are in a car. So you will feel very small. Okay, your car is maybe about 2 meters high, 3 meters high. Okay, so your car will not even reach where the tires are connected of the plane. So the height of a plane, height of a car, say around 3 meters, 2.5, 3 meters. Height of a normal, say about Boeing 777, is 18 meters. How many meters?
18 meters.
Yeah. But the height of the Ark of Nuh alayhi salam was 275 meters.
Subhanallah.
300 yards.
Subhanallah.
How many planes can come? Basically, 275 meters, approximately how many story building? Approximately 60 stories.
Subhanallah.
60 floors.
Subhanallah.
In today's time, if we are calculating. So just to wrap it up, the Ark of Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Just imagine how huge it was. 300 yards in length, 50 yards in width, 300 yards in height. In meters, approximately 275 meters long, 50 yards, that's approximately 60 meters, about 45 to 50 meters in width, approximately 275 meters in height, which means the length is more than 4 aeroplanes in one line.
Subhanallah.
And the height is like a 60-story building.
Subhanallah.
So that's why it took 100 years.
Yeah, that's why.
Just to make this, we are calculating 6-8 hours. 60 stories.
It's too big.
And 6 aeroplanes, 5 aeroplanes in a line. Just imagine. And made of wood. made of?
So 200 wood. Years was only for preparing.
Yes, 200 years was preparing. 100 years it took for the plants, for the trees to grow. Mm-hmm. And with the wood of that tree, now the construction started. And it took 100 years to construct this ark. Now, the front part of the ship was like the head of a rooster. Head of a chicken. Mm-hmm. Now it's like spiked up.
Yeah.
So the front part of the whole ship was like that. That's how the dimensions of the ship were. The rear part was like the tail of a rooster. So like just imagine a rooster that's like the head and the tail is a bit upward. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that was the back of the whole. Meaning look at, it's not about architecture. 60-story building equal to a ship.
Yeah.
Such length, such weight. Imagine the weight, how much weight. It will be heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But along with that, this is architecture. But look at the engineering. That this structure needs to be shaped in such a way that the front should look this way, the back should look this way, it should not sink, it should be load-bearing, it should have all those things.
Mm.
So just look at that how was the level of architecture, not only architecture, also engineering.
Mm.
Along with that, the lower part was like the stomach of a bird. The lower part was like how bird's stomach is like this and then like this again. So it was like, you know, like a belly underneath. The ship was coated with tar. There was tar coating. Tar like, you know, with which the roads are made with. So the ship was coated with
tar.
This is what I'm telling you, engineering. Like, where did Nuh alayhi salam get this knowledge from?
From
that
Allah.
Make this like bird, make this like rooster, make this like this. Coated with tar, because ship was never before made. Allah Ta'ala gave him that knowledge. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala blessed him with those skills. Okay, three decks were built for the ship. There were three decks, three sections. The bottom deck for wild animals. The bottom deck for
wild animals.
Birds and terrestrial insects. There were birds, terrestrial insects and wild animals. In the middle deck, for cattle and other animals. Whereas the top deck was built for human beings. So top deck, human beings. The second deck, all your other animals except the wild animals. Your sheep are there, your goats are there, your cattle are there. All these animals we are enjoying today, Alhamdulillah. And the bottom deck, wild animals, because their propagation and their lineage is also necessary, because it's an entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
It is an entire ecosystem. Sometimes we may be questioning ourselves, what is the need of just, you know, these insects, why are they? Mm. They help the ecosystem.
Yeah.
The grasshoppers, why are they? They help the ecosystem. The wild animals, why are they? Lions, cheetahs, and all. They help the ecosystem. It is a whole food chain. Food chain, every species is somehow interrelated to another species. It all continues. They keep the jungles clean. They keep the jungles in check in terms of their population. The insects and say for example, like the chickens. The chickens send the rats away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you have rats, they eat smaller insects. The rats are then eaten by the cats. The cats become food of the dogs. So it's an entire ecosystem. And this is where the balance of the earth lies. Like say for example, the Qurbani operation in Eid al-Adha. Some people do oppose this and say that this is animal cruelty and this is this and this is that. Two things. Number one, in school biology, what did we learn? That they are living things and non-living things.
Yes.
Living things are into two categories. What are they?
Living things.
Animals
and the
plants.
Yeah.
Animals and
plants.
Yeah. Plants.
Plants.
So the plants are also living.
Hmm.
So say for example, if this strand of grass is taken out, so there is some sort of structure of this leaf connected to its body and hence connected to its roots.
Hmm.
You've plucked it out. You may be able to say, no, because it doesn't feel pain, so because it doesn't have the nervous system. But sir, it is living at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot apply this, that you cannot slaughter animals because this is animal cruelty. This is the chain which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. This is a whole food chain, the whole ecosystem of the entire world. So they are also living beings, but Allah ta'ala has made the system and we have been granted the permission, and a human autonomy is the main proof of that. Because we have incisors, okay, we have canines and we have molars. If you see an animal like a cheetah or a lion, so it has those molars. What are they for? To chew meat. We also have that. What does it mean?
Chew meat.
You see a cow and a goat, they chew grass.
Grass only.
Do they have molars?
No. They don't have.
But they have those?
Yes, the
small teeth.
Yeah.
And we also have the small teeth.
Yeah.
So what does it mean? We should eat grass also? Meaning the greenery, not the grass. And we should eat meat also. This is the human system.
Mm.
The human body. Allah Ta'ala has made it in this way. Your whole biology is a witness of that.
Yeah.
Another thing, let me tell you. In the stomach, we have acids.
Mm.
In the stomach, we have acids. And every creature has been given a specific level of acids in their stomach to break the food down. The acids in the stomach of a cow or a goat is very mild, so that it is only sufficient to break down the greeneries. If you forcefully make a goat eat meat, its system can never digest it.
Yeah.
Never. Why? Because its acids are not powerful enough to break it down. Human acid, you search it online. You know what's the power of the human acid?
Mm.
More than the power of the acids in the stomach of a lion.
Subhanallah.
So your entire human biology shows that human beings are omnivorous.
Mm.
Meaning we are grass eaters, meaning green plant eaters as well.
Yeah.
And we are meat eaters as well. Along with that, if you love, if you say that, no, don't be cruel on animals, don't be cruel on animals. So what should we eat?
Vegetables.
And vegetables is the food of animals.
Animals.
So you love animals, but you want to eat the food.
Subhanallah.
Like, okay, this just came in between.
Yeah.
But this is a whole system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to preserve and secure that entire system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam created those specific sections. Bottom floor. Now imagine we discuss 60 floors high. So approximately each compartment of that should be at least of 20 floors.
Yeah.
Because now in the bottom deck, if he has put wild animals and birds, wouldn't the wild animals eat the birds?
They could.
But look at this beautiful engineering and architecture. The 20 meters, approximately, it's for our understanding, 20 meters if it's the height. So no wild animal can jump for 20 meters.
Mm.
So on the pillars or here or there, birds will be resting and the wild animals underneath. Second deck, the cows and the cattle and stuff. Sayyidina Nuh ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam had planned the entire thing. So you have heard how extraordinary the ship was. However, the storm was about to come, which was coming, that storm was also very heavy. Meaning, just imagine, a storm whose warning has been given 200 years earlier, and that too not through any weather forecast.
Mm.
The weather forecast can give you a forecast of 2 days, 3 days, 6 days, and that too is not 100%.
Mm.
This was the forecast given by the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So however, the storm was about to come was also extremely dangerous. The sign of the storm arriving was that water would begin to boil and overflow from the oven in Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam's house. Hence, when he saw the oven overflowing one day, that the oven is overflowing, so he ordered the birds, animals and believers to board the ship. When he saw the sign of the storm coming, he ordered all the animals and the people to board the ship. The storm continued to grow bigger and more powerful. It started raining so heavy that the ground cracked open in many places. This is the pre-storm advent. It started raining, shaking, ground started opening, and water started to gush out from there. The rain lasted for 40 days.
Subhanallah.
Consecutively 40 days.
Non-stop.
Non-stop. Okay, even the peaks of the mountains that were 40 yards tall, approximately 30 to 35 meters. 30, 35 meters, approximately a, you can say a very tall building. Those mountain peaks as well, they were totally submerged in water. 30 to 40 meters is a, is about 10 stories.
Yeah.
Okay, it was submerged into water. There was so much of water.
So, sir, before you go further, the flood, was it for universal or it was local?
It was the whole earth. Whole world was submerged into water.
SubhanAllah.
Okay. Now, even the peaks of the mountains were submerged into water. No one survived besides those who were on board. The ship continued to travel for about 150 days.
Mm.
Almost half a year. Almost half a year. The ship was traveling 150 days. During which, when the ship reached Arabia, it also made tawaf of the Holy Kaaba seven
Subhanallah,
times.
Subhanallah.
When the ship reached Arabia, it made, so imagine when it's making tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, the Holy Kaaba does not take up that much space, how much space the ark takes up. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this also means that it was the entire world. So, where the Kaaba is stationed, Kaaba is Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine such a huge ship making tawaf of the
subhanallah,
holy Kaaba.
Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar.
In fact, the Kaaba which is stationed, the same place on top is the Kaaba for the angels as well, the Baitul Ma'mur. So it made the tawaf of the holy Kaaba. The ship reached Mount Judi in Iraq, in modern day Iraq, Mount Judi. All the people fasted on that day as a form of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the journey of the world's first ship ended. So what we learn from this is that we should call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how you mentioned, never give up on da'wah. Anything else you want to add on this entire incident, or any lessons you think that they are important for our viewers to take from it?
From this story, we are learning that ahmiyatul tawheed, the importance of tawheed. Just imagine Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was calling people for 950 years. It shows that the tawheed, aqidah, iman, is the first important thing in the life of a believer or in the life of a human.
Very true, very true. 100%. And the fact that we should also fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if our transgressions reach beyond limits, so it's not that we will be protected for the rest of our lives. That one day something will happen and it will be gone. You know, Fir'aun, how much he transgressed. He got a lot of chances, but when he was caught one time.
Yeah.
Namrud, when he was caught one time. Qarun, when he was caught
one time.
So, Ausasab, let's summarize with some rapid questions for the viewers, inshallah.
You are testing me now?
No, it's not okay. Test, but I just want you to...
No, definitely.
Inshallah. Yeah. So, how long did Nuh alayhi salam preach?
He preached for about 950 years.
MashaAllah. So, why did he build the ark?
He built the ark because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had warned him of a punishment of storm coming for the transgressors.
What do we learn from his son, refusal?
The son who refused to embark the boat, Allahu Akbar. The son, he used logic, and I would like Maulana to explain this. Maulana, if you can mention, what do we learn from the son of Nuh alayhi salam who refused to embark?
Because Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he told his son, Ya Bunayya, irkab ma'ana, that come aboard with us. But his son, he denied. He said that I'm going to climb the mountain and the mountain is going to save me from water. Which means he used logic that by climbing a mountain, if the water comes, meaning I'll be on top of mountain. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands something, which means our logic cannot even defeat the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that don't try to use your brain too much. Don't come into the whispers of shaitan. Don't fall in the traps of your own. Alhamdulillah, with this we have also come to the conclusion of our episode as well. If there is anything you guests would like to add on, feel free, inshallah.
Just want to add the lesson from the incident of his son, the son of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. The lesson we can take from this incident is that al-iman aham min al-nasab. That iman is overpowering the nasab. Being a son of a maulana or being a son of a sheikh, it doesn't mean that you are free from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you have to fight for yourself. So your lineage is not going to save you the day of Qiyamah, but your actions is the thing which is going to save you the day of Qiyamah. So iman is above everything in our life.
If we look into it, that it does not mean if you're a son of an alim or you're a son of a maulana, so you are protected. It does not mean that. Your father is pious, mashallah. You have to be pious also.
You strive for yourself.
Inshallah. Because every person is responsible in his grave to answer for his questions. So, on the day of judgment, every person is going to answer for himself. A very beautiful point, and alhamdulillah. Whilst narrating this entire incident, we as a panel as well, we enjoyed a lot. Alhamdulillah. This is a very heartwarming, heart-refreshing story. And the bottom line is, trust the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who protected the human race, the animal race in an ark, that Allah can protect us in our darkest of times. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most powerful, the most merciful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessings of Nuh alayhi salam, grant us the blessings of this month of Muharram, and grant us the blessings of the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, the day of Ashura. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
From the ark that sailed in storm and rain, from to Karbala's land of grief and pain, one held life through water's wave, one showed truth and died so brave. From the ark to Karbala.